Ferris, the director of our utilities department.
Very good.
Chairman Anderson, members of the board, I have a prepared statement today, but I also would like to make sure entered into the record is our list of concerns and may have changed slightly based on I haven't had a chance to really study the second permit and costs and what have you, or some of that is here. The city has prepared and submitted a comprehensive list of comments in addressing legal, procedural, and operational concerns. And by reference, we do want to incorporate that in our testimony. I do want to thank the staff for meeting with us. I want to thank the executive officer and the assistant executive officer for their willingness to come and talk about this and work to achieve an understanding of what the permit is all about. And it is the city's intent to continue a comprehensive and a cost-effective, locally driven stormwater pollution control program and to improve water quality and protect Santa Rosa's waterways. Since 1996, the city has maintained compliance with stormwater permit, has funded several beneficial elements beyond that required by the regional board. These include things like the creek stewardship program. We have an environmental crimes detective that is funded by us and spends time on these issues. We have an award-winning Summer 2-8 Stormwater and Creeks Program summary and a citywide creek master plan and many other issues that we are working on. The city is concerned that some of these effective established program elements will need to be curtailed or cut to preserve funding for compliance with the new provisions in the draft permit that the city does not believe will provide equivalent or greater benefit to the waters. Significant cost increase to maintain compliance and our lack of funding. As of this morning, we're told we're going to lose $3.3 million of property tax, $2.7 million in gas tax, and another $1.9 million in redevelopment monies. And that's on top of cutting equivalently roughly 130 positions out of the city. We have fire stations on brownouts. We've laid off a number of employees on top of that. And so for us to say that we're going to go to the general fund well one more time just isn't very likely. As you do know, we do have a stormwater fee. For the fiscal year 2009 and 10, we budgeted and spent roughly $2,250,000. And that's strictly for the NPDES stormwater permit compliance and pollution prevention and storm drain maintenance activities. The stormwater utilities fund stormwater assessment annually charges the average Santa Rosa property owner $27.38. We will be going to the city council to up that as allowed in the next 2 weeks. To maintain compliance with the draft permit and stormwater assessment would need to be increased to about $50.39 per average residential property. And that's close to doubling the current rate. And this is based on a cost of operation of currently $2,250,000 to $3,487,000, together with a total one-time cost of about $6,500,000. This does not consider the $300,000 annual cost of the city CIP program for compliance with the new SUSUMP threshold of 10,000 feet. The city stormwater fee would then exceed the range of $18 to $46, as reported recently in a state water board study. Importantly, the stormwater fund is a fixed source of revenue, even though it rises each year, for the permit compliance activities and cannot be increased by the city without an affirmative majority vote by the voters, which I think is very unlikely given the circumstances that we're now in. Funding to cover significant anticipated shortfall would have to come from the general fund. And as I mentioned, it's highly constrained. One of the issues that we did raise, we believe is significantly expensive and not necessarily worthwhile, is mapping and documenting all connections to the storm drain system with TV, which would cost about $4,700,000 and then about $10,000 annually to keep up. The city uses GIS mapping to show storm drain system networks, links a database and improvement plans to allow us to track the path of potential spills. This little guy right here is all the city storm drains, water lines, and sewer lines map. Plug it into your laptop, and you have every outfall. You have everything that you could possibly want. And that's what our field employees use when there is a spill in a city street. We are asking that that provision be deleted. We believe the database we have is sufficient, and we do have an asset management program in place. We do have a GIS system in place. And we think that with the mapping, we're covered that. Decreasing Sioux Sump's program impervious surface from 1 acre to 10,000 square feet will cost our CIP projects about $3 million a year. That's about 10% of our operational costs in CIP. We do about $30 million on average in local. That we talked about, and I've noticed there's a request in the PowerPoint to eliminate some of the inspection positions. The way they're inspected now, restaurants and that are done by the environmental compliance people in essence in the industrial waste section, and they do the stormwater inspection while they're there. Part of that is to eliminate having a flood of inspectors in a business, which makes us very unpopular. And our goal is to try to convince people that this is a good idea, not a bad idea, that we're not there to beat them up, but we're there to try and improve the world that we live in. The additional cost, if we went with that, by the way, we're calculated at about $350,000 annually and about a $70,000 startup cost. Very specific cost tracking requirements with extensive accounting for stormwater activities is estimated to cost about $80,000 annually. What's really difficult about this is we're undergoing a major change in our accounting system. We're going to all new software, and the entire program will be changed. And I suspect some of what you're looking for will be in there, but that has not been installed yet, but will be. And I'm not sure whether that will produce anything of any value in terms of water quality. Conducting a behavioral assessment to measurably document the change in behavior of targeted audiences, don't think is a worthwhile requirement. Estimated $80,000 a year needs to be reduced. I just don't see it. Prohibition of non-stormwater flows. The trouble with this issue is we have no problem with developing BMPs and what have you to get it done, but the date the permit's issued, we automatically go into violation because we don't have any, and clearly there are going to be people, you know, drains from buildings and all that are going to continue to pump. And so anything that happens, we would be an automatic violation until we get an approved, and we'd like to make sure that those things are approved before they go into operation. And there's some reasonable time to get that done. We talked about the Sioux Sump. We talked a bit, and I'm very happy that the work with staff on this issue of the 95 TMDL. And I did want to make a legal comment, of which I'm totally unqualified, but as an attorney, but here it goes, because it came from the attorneys. We really do believe that the draft permit is overly prescriptive, lacks flexibility to implement requirements, and exceeds the regional board legal authority to require reasonable and practical programs and priorities. The draft permit contains detailed mandates and required policies, procedures, ordinances, staff training, outreach, education to eliminate pollutant loads that have not been identified as originating from the city or tied in any way to the city's stormwater or non-stormwater runoff. The city requests that the Regional Water Quality Control Board revise the draft MIT in accordance with the city's comments and your staff's efforts to clarify requirements are more narrowly tailored to specific circumstances. And I think one of the issues, again, is if there are issues we don't understand, we clearly want to work with the staff to understand what those issues are. Our goal, I think, is consistent with your goal, because we're the folks on the line every day, is to improve water quality. And for us, that's the value of the city. With that, thank you. We're here to answer any questions. You have two other co-permittees, but we'll be available however you choose.
Any board member questions this time?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
We'd like to now introduce Kevin Booker from the Sonoma County Water Agency.
Good morning. Yeah. So I'm tired. Good afternoon, Chairman Anderson and members of the board. My name's Kevin Booker, and I'm with the Sonoma County Water Agency. And I just have really a couple of comments. The Water Agency is committed to stormwater pollution and sort of stormwater quality. A couple of things that we do is we partner with the city with the Creek Stewardship Program. Something we did 3 years ago is we brought in a program to attend elementary school. Actually, we start off with junior high school to sort of teach them about stormwater pollution. We found that junior high attention span wasn't that long, so we went to elementary, and we found a better response from the elementary kids. And so we're going to continue that this year, which is very good. Another thing that we're doing that Mona actually mentioned is the Water Agency, and really apart from the stormwater program, has started the process of producing an LID manual. And as a part of that process, we're updating our flood control design manual. And when that's done, ideally the LID manual would be able to be used by everybody in the county, which is nice. My one really comment about the stormwater permit is, and Mona mentioned this also, is that there were 17 meetings held with the co-permittees. And those were, in my opinion, very helpful. It's amazing that some of those meetings were going through one of the sections, and somebody said, you know what, this just doesn't make sense. We can't do this. And then Mona or John would say, well, actually, this is what we meant. And then the response was, oh, okay, you know, we're doing that, or oh, we can do that. And so one of the agency's major comments is that those meetings were very, very helpful, and that next time around that would be ideal to occur with the first draft, is to have those meetings and to work out some of those confusing points or misconstrued points in the permit. Other than that, that's all I have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Booker.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Nathan Quarles. I'm with the Permit and Resource Management Department at the county. I'm here today to represent the County of Sonoma. I have hopefully a short PowerPoint presentation for you. Here's an outline of the presentation. The first half focuses on big picture stuff. We want to discuss all the things that the County of Sonoma does to improve water quality and the environment, get into some of the concerns about the permit in a broad perspective, and there's two or three topics that we get into specific provisions but still keep it general in nature. Here's the list of the things that the County of Sonoma does to improve water quality, starting off with new development. In December of last year, the county adopted a countywide grading ordinance, and this applies to all and any grading permits within the county. Within this ordinance, we address post-construction impacts, including stormwater treatment requirements and hydrograph modification requirements. Also in the grading ordinance are stream setbacks that apply to streams that go beyond the setbacks in the general plan. Also, this ordinance applies to agricultural projects, specifically vineyard and orchards. To our knowledge, even the NPDES regulations do not address agricultural projects. On the discretionary side, we also enforce post-construction impacts or address post-construction impacts through our conditioning phase of the project review, and we require these conditions on any and all projects that disturb land. We also have a plan review and inspection program with the county where we review each grading application. We inspect most, if not all, grading projects, and the average number of projects are about 300 a year, and we do multiple inspections on those grading projects. Lastly, I think on this topic, Mona mentioned this, we are working with your staff, and we have obtained funding from Caltrans for a post-construction demonstration project that will be installed in one of our parking lots at the County Administration Center. Moving on to on-site wastewater disposal systems, the county regulates these systems throughout the county. We have an agreement with the state to do such, and we do this on a countywide effort, even within city municipalities. We also address floodplain management. We prohibit developments in what is known as the floodway. We also ensure that development in the wider floodplains does not adversely affect the carrying capacity and attempt to prevent pollutants from getting into the floods. On the green building standard side of things, the county is on the verge of adopting green building standards that have been adopted in other municipalities within this region. The county recently started the Sonoma County Energy Independence Program, where we basically loan people money so that they can do energy reduction projects. Sonoma County is on track to meet our self-imposed greenhouse gas reduction target by 2015. We also deal with spill response and hazardous materials. The county conducts spill response activities countywide through our Department of Emergency Services. We also conduct hazardous waste or hazardous materials collection and disposal activities through the county landfill and through roving toxic household roundup days. We also conduct a local oversight program for leaking underground storage tanks, also through an agreement with the state. Lastly, we have, I think Mona mentioned this as well, is that we are working with your staff to develop a countywide MOU or agreement that addresses four program elements that would be in effect outside any MS4 permit boundary. And those categories include illicit discharge, plan review and inspection program, municipal operations, and county roads and storm drain system. Getting more to this permit, here's some information on costs. One thing I'd point out, the city data that we collected came right out of the annual reports, and you'll notice that the city does submit cost per household each year. So running through this, we have population, and I put the numbers down at the bottom because the scale got kind of messed up when you try to put all these numbers together. But so you see the population relative for the city and the county, the number of households, the annual cost per household, and the permit area or acres. And a couple points I'd like to point out is earlier there was a presentation about the average cost on a statewide basis, and I read one document where the average was between 30 and 80. The information that was presented today was much lower. Driving home our point for us is that the county spends roughly $78 per household in the permit boundary. My perception was this at the high end of the range. Using the numbers presented earlier today, this far and away exceeds those numbers. Relative to the city, we're about double what the city spends. Part of the reason that our costs are larger is because if you look at the land area, that's under permit, we have almost six times the land area in terms of acres that are under permit. This leads to travel time to the sites, more road miles to administer or to manage, and just the volume that we, or the land area, contributes to the increased cost for the county. I have one footnote on the population. This was a calculated number versus a census number. We don't have good census data in the rural setting, which I'll be getting into the urban versus rural discussion in a moment, but much of the land area that's under permit is in a rural setting. We don't have great census data there. The number of households we have good data on. We did some querying at the assessor's office and determined that we have a little over 16,000 households in the permit boundary. These include single-family dwellings, apartments, condominiums, anything that we could consider as a household we included in that search. Regarding the population, in the urban centers itself, we have roughly 13,000 people in what we consider the urban clusters in the permit boundary. There was some discussion about teasing out the costs, and we, in our opinion, we do a good job of teasing out the costs. Regarding, we're similar with the city, is that when we do a inspection for the restaurant, in the permit boundary, our health department has assessed an additional fee for that specific NPDS inspection. So they've got good tracking of restaurants, and we're able to tease out that data. Similarly, with grading projects, you know, we've been, the county and city and other municipalities have been inspecting grading projects for decades. And, you know, historically we're looking at keyways and the mass grading, and along with the evolution of the NPDS program, we picked up the BMPs and add that to our inspections. And so there's an incremental cost, and we have made an effort not to blur the lines and to keep that accounting separate. Regarding some costs, similarly to the city of Santa Rosa, the county is being hit with the general fund, and Department of Transportation is potentially going to be hit with an $8 million reduction due to the state taking the tax revenue or the gas tax revenue. Also, our general fund is also being reduced. We only have one department, which is Permit and Resource Management Department, that is fee-driven, where we can charge a service for that fee. The rest of the funding comes out of the general fund. So when we were, I missed an important point. The last line is on the new permit. We've estimated the cost of the new permit to be $2.7 million, nearly double the cost. And when you average that over the 16,000 household, that's $162 per household, which depending on any of the metrics that have been discussed today, that far and away exceeds any kind of state average. So all of this cost information got us thinking, and when we read the second draft, we basically went back to square one, reviewed the Clean Water Act and the regulations and the publications that EPA sent out with those regulations, and we basically asked the question, why are we a Phase 1 permittee? We have low populations in our urban centers. If you look at Larkfield Wikiup, we have about 7,500 people in that area. In the area outside of Windsor, this is that same map that was discussed earlier. This was from the 2000 census. In the area outside of Windsor, we have about estimated 2,000 people. The area outside of Hillsburg, about 1,500 people. The Grayton area has 1,500 people. You add those up, you're looking at 12,000, 13,000 people. We have the same permit provisions as the largest municipality in the North Coast region, which is the city of Santa Rosa. We don't think that's fair or equitable. Further, in the fact sheet, the new permit refers to the National Urban Runoff Program study. We don't believe that that is a definitive study for such small urban centers. That study was purported to be the justification to make the claim that the county is a significant contributor of pollutants, which is a threshold to require a Phase 1 permit. What we believe happened, the next slide is that same census data or map with the outlay of the current and proposed Phase 1 NPDS boundary. When we are looking at the Clean Water Act regulations, they require a MS4 permit for locations that are deemed a census-designated place. Now, the highlighted or the red boundary depicts the census-designated places. One thing that is kind of odd, and they showed the urban fringes of Santa Rosa. I really don't understand how Hillsburg is an urban fringe of Santa Rosa, but you know, we're about a decade past in challenging the 2000 census, so we're kind of over that. But regardless, it is, and it's in the regs say you need a MS4 permit. Doesn't say you need a small MS4 permit or you need a phase one or phase two. It just says you need a MS4 permit. Currently, these areas are covered by a phase one permit, as well as the area in white, which is not a census designated place. The other point I'd like to make is that there are many census-designated places within the North Coast region. Some of them show up on the map, like Roanoke Park, Cotati, Sebastopol, Windsor, Hillsburg. Going north, you have Ukiah, Fort Bragg. Even further north, Eureka, McKinleyville area. They're all census-designated places. They have all been allowed to go under a Phase 2 small MS4 permit. Our request is for your consideration that we remain in a phase one permit within the city of Santa Rosa, which is the green area in the center of the map, and that we shift to a phase two permit in the census designated places, and then we implement the MOU or agreement for the balance of the county.
Nate, just back up on that, Nathan.
Oh, it stuck.
I feel like that, you know.
Can you get me back to, or just, yeah.
To eight.
Thanks, Drew.
The statement you just made in terms of the last choice, I think, was an MOU, you said, for
yes.
The balance of the county. And
right.
The balance of the county area within the black line, or the balance of the county in the North Coast region, or in the balance of Sonoma County?
The middle one. So it would be for the balance of the county within the North Coast region. And these things would all go together. They're not exclusive. What our pitch is for your consideration would be a phase one permit within the city of Santa Rosa, because that's the only population that, according to the Clean Water Act regs, support a phase one permit. We would go, or the request is that for a phase two permit in the census designated places as demonstrated by the map, and then for the balance of the county in the North Coast region, we would live with the MOU/agreement.
And to staff, in terms of phase two in those census designated areas, do they, Cotati, Roanoke Park, Hillsburg have phase two? Reinforcing my earlier confusion as to what is phase one. Staff will explain that later. That's fine.
Okay, part of the issue for the county is applying an MS4 permit in the rural setting. This is problematic on several fronts, but it's our view that the MS4 program was intended for large municipalities, 250,000 people or more, medium urban areas between 100,000 and 250,000, and small urban areas up to 100,000. And then when they produced the phase two regulations, they created this title called regulated small MS4s, which are tied to the census, which you just saw the map of those areas. Our urban areas are much smaller. We have a very rural setting. We realize that soils and there's other pollutants that are an issue, but we feel that a phase one permit, MS4 permit, doesn't seem like the correct mechanism to get at these issues. One question I'd like to try and clarify for the chairman is about the rural discharges, and I think this kind of brings it home, is that one of the problems of applying this in a rural setting is that out in the hills, you can have private storm drain systems, you can have discharges that go through a private storm drain system, direct discharges to waters of the state, and you can have discharges that come through a county-operated MS4. It's not a given that every stormwater discharge is coming through a county-owner-operated MS4 in the rural setting, and it makes us a little problematic in implementing. One thing, I kind of got off track. We realize soils are an issue and roads are an issue. The county road department or the Department of Transportation and Public Works addresses maintenance. They do their maintenance activities and roads activities in accordance with the Fishnet 4C manual that was presented earlier. The last point on this slide is that the Clean Water Act regs cite using a watershed approach. In our opinion, this works well in areas like Los Angeles and the Bay Area, Sacramento, where your wall-to-wall metropolitan areas where the watersheds are 80 to 90% built out or developed. But here in a watershed with a rural agricultural watershed that's not as urbanized, it's problematic. Getting into some of the specifics, the discharge prohibitions, A1 through A5, basically prohibit the discharge from the MS4. Now consider the rural setting. If you're familiar with the area, we have Marquess Creek. There's a county road that basically parallels Marquess Creek. It's called St. Helena Road. Way back when it was installed, the county laid pipes down in the creek and basically ramped over it, paved it. It became St. Helena Road. Now envision, you know, you have all these side tributaries coming into Marquess Creek that are passing through these road, stream crossings. Imagine a pollutant, it could be soil from erosion, whatever it is discharged to waters of the state, flows down the stream, comes into and out of the county's, you know, one 30-foot segment of pipe. At the exit, that's a discharge from the MS4. And our position is that the county is not responsible for discharges to waters of the state that occur prior to entering the MS4. We've discussed this with staff. They are in concurrence that it's not our responsibility that was, in fact, a discharge to waters of the state. However, our concern is the language doesn't reflect that, and we're more concerned about citizen lawsuits saying, hey, that's a discharge from your system. You need to address it all the way up that watershed. And so what we're seeking or requesting on this one is some tweaking of the language to resolve that issue. This next one is a specific provision, which is listed here. It's E part 3.3A. In our view, this is a retrofit requirement. It mandates inspections of commercial and industrial facilities. And on the next slide, I refer to the definition in attachment C is very broad. It commercial facility, by the definition I'm paraphrasing, is any establishment that trades or sells goods. It also includes legal consulting services or professional services, or any service for that matter. So it can include hair salons, legal offices, engineering consulting firms, groceries, anybody that resells goods could be caught up in this provision. So it requires or mandates inspections that the co-permittees conduct inspections and require additional BMPs for pollutant discharges to 303D listed water bodies. Now, most streams in this area and in the North Coast region are listed for sediment or soil of one variety of another. And we know that staff have made arguments that impervious surfaces lead to sedimentation and temperature increases through the hydrograph modification. We don't disagree that hydrograph modification, well, we agree in the concept that hydrograph modification occurs and leads to these impacts. But the concern is by having this provision apply to such a broad definition and to all these categories that this is, in effect, a retrofit requirement that the co-permittees are now going to have to go administer and go enforce on all these commercial establishments and require them to retrofit their parking lots and address these concerns. Okay, the last slide has to do, here it is. In the proposed permit, the permit, a lot of permit provisions require numerous studies and reports. And they also have a lot, some administrative aspects increasing the overhead on the co-permittee. Here are several examples. We're being asked to create a behavioral change assessment study. We're not social scientists. We'd have to contract out for this. And we don't actually see a direct tie to water quality improvement. It's going to be very difficult to measure if we can change somebody's behavior by not putting a pollutant into a stream. We don't know how much. We don't know what impact or effect that had on the improvement of water quality. It's going to be very difficult to link the two to an improvement to water quality. The same thing for the next one on the requirement to measure effectiveness of school education programs. Your staff did, you know, in our discussions, they heard our views on the education program. They did pare that down, and we appreciate that. But this requirement, you know, the requirement now is that we give the schools a suite of materials so that they can use and educate the school children. Well, there's no guarantee that the school is actually going to take that material and use it. And to require us to measure effectiveness, we don't have a right to go into the schools and test the children. We don't know how we're going to implement this. Another one is we have to submit a BMP plan for discharges of natural spring water, rising groundwater, and natural overflows from riparian habitats. Consider the rural setting of the county during a winter time. There are springs popping up everywhere. Many of those are going to drain to a county MS4. Just the sheer number of them, you know, does this mean, and this is where maybe some of the confusion comes in. When we read it, we have one perspective. When staff read it, they have a different perspective. And I look forward to getting together with staff and ironing out, you know, what is meant by some of the language. But when we read this, we look, you know, do we have to go find all these springs and then apply a BMP to them? Or rising groundwater, the same thing? I mean, this provision to me makes sense in an urban setting where you have leaking underground tanks, you have gasoline plumes, solvent plumes, where natural springs or rising groundwater may transport some of these pollutants to the MS4 and to the creeks. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us in the rural setting. Lastly is the administrative aspects. It's hard for us to see the nexus between some of these administrative aspects to actually improving water quality. One example of those of that is the increased tracking of the financial expenditures. We understand that information may be of value to somebody, but it doesn't. There's no direct tie to improving water quality. So in general, all of these reports and the overhead puts a strain on the limited financial resources that could be used more effectively to protect water quality. In conclusion, we are requesting your consideration of a Phase 1 permit within the city of Santa Rosa, a Phase 2 permit for the census-designated places, and to implement the MOU and agreement countywide outside of the permit boundary in the North Coast jurisdiction. We are also requesting specific changes that we discussed, that some of them were discussed today, and the balance were discussed or presented in our comment letters. Also, in conclusion, our perspective is the county has a host of programs that protect water quality and the environment. We will obviously continue with those programs. We will continue with the MS4 program in whatever fashion it turns out to be. But our desire is to have an MS4 permit or program that is commensurate with our population and consistent with other census-designated places within the North Coast region. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Quarles. Board member questions? Mr. Corbett.
Yeah, I am a little unclear. Maybe you can help me on the map here. And I'm not sure I have the right map, but is the green here, are those portions of Santa Rosa outside a contiguous boundary, or is it all in the contiguous hatch bar boundary?
Sorry, let's bring up number 7, please.
Yeah, I'm just there's a bunch of green ones right by Sebastopol that are not hatched. Who owns those, or what are those?
I believe that's unincorporated county.
Okay, thank you.
Those are the city irrigation areas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's where they apply the wastewater.
But I'm not sure if they're owned by the city or if they're okay.
So is your proposal
coming to me? Those are within the city.
Exclude those or include those? That's
To be included in. I suppose so. I mean, but there, I don't know if there's any MS4s there, or I mean, those are under the control of the city. My preference would be that they would be under the ownership of the city, as they currently are. I mean, I think they should have responsibility for them, not the County of Sonoma.
Ms. Dean.
So what you're saying then is even up here where this is a highly developed area with a large employment base, you're saying that where we're sitting right now should not be under an MS4 permit?
No, this is what we would call a urban center with a transient population, because there are some apartments near the freeway, granted, but this is an urbanized center. And it would be part of the Phase 2 MS4 permit.
So the county is going to have some MS4 permit requirements either way.
Right, in the urbanized areas, yes.
Okay, thank you.
We're not asking to be out of the program altogether. We're asking that it cover, when we go back and look at the intent of the MS4 program was to cover urbanized area, not the rural setting. And this obviously is an urbanized area that we would expect to be covered, hopefully, under a Phase 2 MS4 permit.
So this would be a Phase 2 and not a Phase 4?
We're asking that it be a Phase 2 versus a Phase 1, yes.
I mean, excuse me, Phase 1, yeah.
And this issue has to have been raised somewhere else. Are you aware of it being raised anywhere else? The rural, urban, it, rural doesn't really fit. We don't have pipes underground.
The only one that I'm familiar with that comes close to it, and I don't think it's directly on point, is the County of Ventura. They have a countywide MS4 permit, but it's a slightly different setup. I mean, first off, when I spoke to the county staff down there, they requested a countywide permit in the early 90s, and the water board obliged them in granting them a countywide permit. In that system, it actually acts like a general permit, where the different municipalities enroll under it versus the setup up here, where you have a Phase 1 permit and all these other municipalities have Phase 2. So it's close, but not quite.
And the MOU, what you've laid before us today, is something that I didn't see in the comment letter from the county. Is the MOU something that, in my reading of the staff report on shrinking the boundary, the county was willing to do something in the areas under the North Coast. Are you saying you're sticking with that, or is your definition of an MOU different than that?
You raised a couple questions. I'll see if I can parse them out. Originally, when we were still looking at the first draft, your staff approached us and said, let's talk about the boundary, because initially it was countywide. And so we entertained those discussions, and the discussion went, we will maintain the current boundary if you do these three or four program elements outside. And we said, sure, we'll entertain that. We drafted up an agreement, got it through all the county departments, presented it to water board staff. There's a couple minor points to refine, but I think we're mostly there. Then we received the second draft and started going through the cost analysis and looking at what that meant to the County of Sonoma. And as I presented, our estimation is it's going to double the cost. Oh, as a side note, we did get that letter. We are working on cost estimates and hopefully to submit something within a week or two. So we looked at the cost, and we went back and studied the Clean Water Act and went back to square one and, asked ourselves, why are we a Phase 1 permit? And it just doesn't seem to make sense. So in a sense, we are asking for more. But I think it's our duty to bring this to light and raise that question. Is it fair or the right thing to do to have the county with such small populations to have a phase one permit equivalent to a population of 160,000, 170,000 people, the biggest metropolitan area in the North Coast region?
I'm going to push you a bit to spell out what would be covered under the MOU.
There are four program elements, illicit discharge and detection, spill response. Here I have a list. And once I find the right slide, I'll bring it up for you. Oh, it's not on the slide. It's in my notes. Sorry. So it's illicit discharge, which is spill response and tracking down illicit discharges. It's plan review and inspection program. So for new development, we would continue to plan review projects, condition the projects, do inspections, ensure that they had complied with the current county regulations, which include post-construction impacts and stormwater treatment, hydrograph modification, some of the things that your staff are requesting in the permit. Municipal operations, so corp yards, regional parks, things of that nature, which are municipal in nature. County roads and storm drain system is the last element of that agreement, and it's basically maintenance of the rural county roads and some of the urban road sweeping, maintaining the ditches when we find erosion sources coming in to addressing those, things of that nature.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair would like to take a break, but before doing that, I want to inquire of Alfred Wanger if it's okay you be first up after a break, or you need to go prior to a break. I can accommodate.
I can go after the break.
Okay. Very good. Then we'll take a 10-minute break. Thank you. And we'll just have you wait 1 minute, Al, until board members are seated. You're too quick for us. And we have been joined by Heidi Harris from Sal here.
Thank you.